Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks is part one of a 9-part live teaching session called Project Galilee that took place on November 2nd through the 4th, 2017 at Bridgeway Church of the Nazarene in Beaufort, North Carolina for a group of pastors and leaders. And in part one, my dad gave an introduction to the topic about the miracles of Jesus over nature.
Well, we're back in beautiful, historic Beaufort by the Sea, or as we used to call it back in the day, hysteric Beaufort. Some others are on the way. I've heard from some that won't get here until a little later in the evening. And so that's kind of the way it works. Someone asked me, how many will we have? I said, 40-ish, but not all at the same time. And in the evenings, we may have a few more join us. But this is our 5th year gathering at the seaside. And it's just mind-blowing, really, that people still show up. And if you're here for the first time, raise your hand. Wow, glad we had it again. So we have some things that we hope will happen here this week. And there's some things that we don't even know to hope for that will happen. And that's usually the most beautiful part. We do ask for 3 things from God: inspiration, restoration, and friendship. Those 3 things happen. We will believe that it is being worth our time. But we know there's some things that God is going to plant that we have really no idea. Is your name in with an E-N or an I-N, Paul?
I am an
Okay. Oh, you didn't fill your own tag out. Okay. I'm like, I've known you since you were 5.
You really just messed
it. I probably have known Paul Gillikin longer than anyone in the room, with the exception of my mother. Maybe Billy Jeff. I can't remember who I met first. Or Paul Gillikin. And I start there because there were some reasons why I gave this weekend, or a week, whatever it's called, these few days, a shot early on. And I must say that one of the biggest reasons was that I kind of wanted to bring some encouragement Paul's way. That was a big part of it. And when I was heading for Bible college back in 1992, I had this pain in my heart because I was fixing to go and, in my granny's words, win the world to Jesus. And I had a very close best friend that didn't know Jesus, and that was Paul Gillikin. And so I began to pray for him in the months leading up to my departure. And wouldn't you know that the Lord saved him real good right before I left. And I would go, he was a contractor at the time, and I would go by his jobs and watch him, you know, blowing sawdust and all that. And I would share Bible scriptures with him. I guess that was discipling, you know, in some way. But the last person I saw when I left on my U-Haul truck from Carter County to go to the Wild Wild West out to Bible college, I looked in the rearview mirror at my homestead that we were leaving, and right there was parked the old gold GM product truck, short bed, and Paul Gillikin was standing kind of almost in the ditch waving me goodbye. He was the last thing I saw. This is Paul. So we've come back to my roots, literally. If you want any mud on me, talk to Paul. He can give it to you.
Not too much.
But he'll be careful because I got a little on him, so we kind of have a deal. But Paul, God did something with that desire, and now look, there's a few more people showing up. And if everybody that signed up, or some just don't sign up because they realize that doesn't do anything for you. If you sign up for this, you get a reply back from my email, yay, exclamation point. How many of you got that? Yes, the ones who signed up. Now, Belva Jane, hers kept shooting back at me, so I'll have to tell her I did. She's not here right now. I did reply to her, but it just wouldn't go through for some reason. Still in my outbox, won't go. But it does give us some idea that people are still showing up. Then some of you just see me along the way and say, I'm coming, do I have to register? I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Just show up. Now, we have a calendar, if you want to try to keep up with that, it's at projectgalilee.org. It kind of shows what our plan is, and we stick to it pretty closely, but there'll be a little flex in it. And but if you have trouble knowing what's happening when, you don't not able to find it on the internet, let us know. We'll show you what the calendar is. Every year, I have prayed and sought the Lord, and as some of the years were influenced some by the original seven who came the first year. If you're wondering, how did we come up with the speakers for this? Well, the first year I had it, we had seven people. We put one table right here, and we all sat around it, and it was joyous. And at the end, I said, y'all want to come back next year? And they all said yes. And so I said, well, you'll be the speakers. So we'll see if anybody comes. If not, we'll talk to each other. And so that's how we did that. And then along the way, Tim Fox, who's a pastor in Wesleyan, pastor in Goldsboro, he had to sit out a year. And so we decided to invite Ken McLean to come. And we knew we needed another layer. We needed some worship, you know. So we invited her to come, and she spoke and led worship. And then she just keeps coming and coming. She's like the energizer bunny. And so she took off. And Tim, my friend in Goldsboro, he just said last year he just has so many things on him, he needed to, you know, scale back a tad. And so it was with fear and trepidation that he said he wouldn't be here this year. So I think the closest one standing to me at that point was Jarrett Link. So I said, Jarrett, you want to speak next year? And he's like, yeah. I think that was kind of like your answer. So Jarrett is going to be a new face up front this year. And you'll probably figure out why in just a few minutes after he begins. Well, it's kind of become a retreat for the Harrisonburg people to get off of that mountain we live on, or that valley we're in, whichever, and come down where the waves hit the shore. And so I'm real humbled to see who's from Harrisonburg here. Raise your hand so you all can start to distinguish. Then we got some people over around Virginia Beach area. They started showing up, and give them another reason to miss a few days of church. So raise your hands, y'all around that Norfolk, Virginia Beach, okay, area. And then we got some from the Crystal Coast area hanging out here. That's where we're at. Where are y'all at? Raise your hand. You're from this area. Yeah. I missed some areas. We got some Jacksonville folks this year. We're reaching down. And New Bern, we got one in New Bern. Now we got the Lynchburg table here. Stephen could take, he'd go to any retreat if he thought he could get a good golf round in while he was there. So I want to be like him when I grow up. I probably won't be golfing, I'll probably play a shuffleboard or something, you know, because I'm much less agile than him. But we're glad they're here. I want to begin with prayer, and then I'm going to just share a few moments, and then by 3 o'clock, Kim McLean will be up here. We're going to begin 15 minutes early with her session. Because she usually takes 15 extra anyway, so we're going to have to do 15. You know, the good creative songwriters, time means nothing. They're just these eternal beings. They're just wound up, and they just, I love it. It's so beautiful to see. So it's a miracle. She's 3 years in a row, she actually caught the plane from Tennessee and got to New Bern. And she don't mind if I pick on her a little bit, but that creativity, man, they just always turn toward the Lord and listen. You know, I love it. That's why we'll all be in heaven. So, but Kim, we're glad you come from over in Nashville, Nastyville, Tennessee, as they call it. And Kim is a real lover of God's heart. She is a worshiper and a preacher. Next year this time, if she pays all her bills and shows up for all her stuff, she'll be Dr. Kim McLean. So then we're going to have a double her pay. But anyway, Kim, we're glad that you're here. And she's already told me she's got some songs. Can't wait for us to hear. I asked Brother Porter to come. I appreciate Brother Porter Graves. I don't know which hand he raised when I said where he was from. I wasn't looking. But they raised both of them, just like a Assembly of God man, both hands in the air. Brother Porter, I pastor his hometown, he pastors mine. It's an amazing exchange. So I tell you just quickly, some of you might know the story, but it's worth repeating. One Wednesday night when I was still leading Bible studies on Wednesday night, we've gone to life groups now, so I only work on Sundays now. But back when I was also working on Wednesday nights, we had a prayer time around the altar one night. It was, I don't know if you've ever experienced prayer like this. I hope you do. If you haven't, I hope you will. But it was one of those times as if you knocked on the throne room of the Lord, and the door flew open, and the Lord grabbed you by the neck and pulled you in. It was one of those kind of prayer nights after the Bible study. And I remember I was laying flat on the floor under the altar almost. And I think I was there about a half hour after everybody else had left. I mean, they just finally, they could tell I was still breathing, so they left me. And that night, I'm accused of being a little mystical sometimes, but whatever. I just sensed I had a burden for Carter County. It was huge. My heart was just, this is Carter County we're in. And I didn't know what it meant. And I was just praying for lost people that I had grown up with, you know. And finally, I pulled myself together, and I was given exit from the throne room. And I was headed up the stairwell. A lot of times when I still have that same stairwell in my office, I think of this moment. Because it's the most holy moment I've ever had in that stairwell. And so as I was going up the stairwell, the Lord just whispered to me. It wasn't loud. It was a whisper, a faint whisper, but it was definite. And he said, "How about Porter Graves?" And I'm like, "Well, how about Porter Graves, you know?" It was so real. Porter was preparing for ministry, and he had done some preaching over in Culpeper and a few places. So I just went right to my office and picked the phone up and called Porter, and I said, "Porter, I don't know if this means anything, but tonight I was praying for my home county, and when I got done, the Lord just whispered your name to me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Well, brother, if the Lord wants me to go in your fold while you in mine, I would be wonderful with that." That's called surrender, in case you don't know. Now, he might have thought of that moment, "Well, I'm Pastor Carey, I want to go along with what he's heard, you know." And I don't know how long it was, a few weeks or months later, I don't know exactly. I got a call from Brother Kurt Nelson, who was kind of an interim here at this church at that time. And he said, "Brother Carey, I just need to get somebody. I'm not going to be able to do this for a whole lot longer. Do you have anyone up there that might come interview at the Bridgeway Church?" It was amazing. And I said, "Well, since you asked, I do." So how many years have you been here now? 11 years. Now, if you don't know who Porter Graves is and you're from our neck of the woods, he broke the cycle of judges in the Graves family. And great character, great name in our county, the Graves family. And he does have a brother that might head for that. I don't know. He's an attorney in town. But his father and mother both have strong, his dad's passed on, have a strong heart for the Lord. And his sister, if you don't know, is Liz Gillenwater at our church. And so 11 years, Brother Porter. Wow, it's amazing. So you raised your boys here. Now you're sending them back to Harrisburg. At least one of them is back.
And one at Trevecca.
And one's at Trevecca. So anyway, when I got ready to do Project Galilee, I thought, wow, I need a free church somewhere. Because we're going to do this thing free. So I called Brother Porter, and he was delighted. So he's been getting ready and probably had to make sure the place was clean and all the tissue in place. And what is that called? Red cherry hand soap in the bathroom. Oh, man, they got it going here. And in the morning, about 9:15-ish, there'll be some food out for breakfast. The ladies here cook casseroles and stuff like that. So eat light at your hotel or take it back to your own meeting later. There will be food here for you and coffee. I think there's some coffee here now. Angela, yes, sir, we have coffee. She texted me and said, "Will there be coffee?" I was like, "Probably, but I'm not sure." So we appreciate the host church allowing us in. So just quickly, I'm going to have Porter pray for us, but I do want to make sure you know what's going on in case some of you are new. The ones who are part of the crew, I call it. the original ones and the ones who've been grafted in. So we'll go right down the line. I'm going to pull the schedule up right now so you can just kind of know who's here and when they're going to be helping us. ProjectGalilee.org. So I'm Carrie, and I'm doing the intro right now. Kim McLean. Kim, just stand so we can, might be people in the back can't see you. Okay, this is Kim McLean. And then we have Port Graves, who's going to speak in second, and Pastor Mark Michael up here on the front row, and Brother Paul Gillikin with the K-I-N, and Brother Aaron Golden. That's another story. He texted me about 1 o'clock. He said, are we doing anything before we actually show up? He was trying to get a free lunch, and he got it.
I got it.
Yeah, he got it. He's smart. I've known him since he was in diapers. He and Grayson both acted like they were going to pay the bill, but I knew that wasn't happening. And then, Aaron, I love you, man. Camelot Shuff, who was once part of our, where is she?
She's back in the back trying to fix
it. Oh, she's in the sound booth. Camelot, who
God bless
her. One part of our staff at one time, and now she's over there.
I raised both my hands, too.
She had both hands up, too, and she's over there in the Newport News area, struggling and... what's the other word we use? Suffering for Jesus. Yes. Yes, I'm hearing you. Then I think we have Jared Length. Jared Stan, I think everybody needs to take a look at you. And he and Aaron got together on beard length. So I think they about got it. And then that's Saturday morning. And then the last thing will be Saturday 11, and I'll speak. So Dennis Kinlaw always spoke last, thinking that would keep the people there and they wouldn't leave. That's not the reason I'm speaking last. Number one, I'm not Dennis Kinlaw. Number two, last year we just drew numbers for the scripture we would have. The Lord just spoke to me about the miracles, so I wrote the 8 miracles that I thought the Lord had given me. I actually put them in a hat. Had each of them draw, I said, you will get whatever miracle you draw, and that's the order you will go in. I drew 8. And I drew the toughest passage. But it's going to be good. I had to work. I couldn't lean on anything I'd ever done before. It had to be fresh. So that's what we're doing. And I'll be talking about next year. We already have plans for next year, but we haven't got this year underway yet. So if you will pray, Brother Porter, and then I'll try to share some biblical.
Father, we thank you for this time together. And people have come from all over the place, Lord. I just pray, God, that this would speak to them, that this would be a time that you have set apart for us so that when we meet here, when we learn in dialogue, when we open your word and you speak to us through the Spirit, that we go out changed and transformed for you. And so, Lord, I pray that each one here would just feel a sense of belonging, like their home. And Lord, just lead Pastor Carey, lead all of the other ones that are teaching and leading and guiding these studies through the miracles, God. Let us see your hand at play, as we always have, as we always will. So, Lord, bless them now. Bless this time together in your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take this and give it to the ladies. We bring a donation each year to the ladies' ministries. So they provide some food for us, and we're grateful for that. I'm going to just ask you for a moment to turn to Matthew 28. You probably won't enjoy Project Galilee if you don't like the Bible. That is really why we meet, is saturating in the Word of God. And I think it's important that we as leaders, speakers, teachers, whatever we might be, that we have time when we sit and listen. You know, it helps us, I think, be better at what God has called us to do. And a lot of times we don't like to be a part of anything unless we're up front, you know, unless we wouldn't admit that. But it's part of leading, perhaps. Whenever you talk to a bunch of pastors and leaders, you know you're getting criticized quietly more than you ever have in your life. So it's a real risk, you know. But it's a beautiful criticism. It's probably also worthy of whatever people think. But I came the first year, and of course we sat around the table and just had dialogue about scriptures. And then I did a little more preaching each year, and I do a little less every year because that's God's plan. That's what I was hoping for. I said I'd say something about next year. Next year, we're going to have 8 subjects that we're going to talk about, and I've turned the speakers loose to choose the subject they want to talk about, like leadership, worship, discipleship, you know, just whatever they choose. And they're going to speak about 15 minutes on it. Then we're going to turn that session into total dialogue. And it's going to be done kind of in the form of a panel. So once we figure out what the subjects are, they're going to give those to me before I leave this time. You'll be able to go to our website when we put it up for next year. And if you would like to be a part of one of the panels of one of those subjects, you'll just email me and say, I'd like to be on the relationship panel, or I'd like to be on the, you know, outreach panel, or whatever. And we're going to talk about real practical things. We're going to use the Bible as our foundation, but next year it's going to be a little more anybody who comes who wants to be involved kind of thing will have an opportunity to sit up here in a little panel and talk through the subject at hand. This year, though, we're still kind of leaning into the ways we've done it, where we saturate in Scripture. And we share what the Lord has given us over the last year. And there will be some time for a little bit of dialogue, a little Q&A maybe after each session, a little time of testimony and prayer, whatever. We let the Lord lead that. So today I'm going to begin just for a few moments here, Matthew 28. What I want to talk about is the idea of Galilee. What is that? You know, why is it Project Galilee? Well, I've already mentioned Kinlaw's name, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. I went to a couple of his retreats over in Wilmore, Kentucky. And that's where the Lord began to give me the first thought about maybe bringing my friends together to have some inspiration, restoration, friendship. But it was on the shores of the Galilee where I really began to kind of put it together location-wise and all that. And I really am learning more each year why the Lord wouldn't let me get loose of Project Galilee. It takes a while to learn how to spell Galilee. You know, it's not an easy Google word, you know. It takes a little while. So some people might say, why didn't he pick something people could actually spell? But I just couldn't get loose from it. And every year, as I'm preparing, the Lord gives me another glimpse, really, of why it's Project Galilee. If you go to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, you're going to find a passage that the Lord has given to me this year to just share in an introductory way now. Matthew 28, I'm going to be looking at the New King James Version, because that's what I have open at this point. It says at the top in the New King James Version, He is risen. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice. I like the Message paraphrase there. It says, Good morning. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples, my brethren, to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So this is the scripture that this project is built on. It's a promise that we would see Jesus. If we are fully devoted disciples of His, He invites us. Now, this year, He began to show me a little bit for my own life, especially what that really means for me. He was telling the disciples, go back to your home. You know, all of them, with the exception of one or two, were from the region of the Galilee. So He basically was saying, go home, and I will go there ahead of you, and you will see me. So this is my home, as far as geography goes. A funny story, Grayson reminded me of it this morning. I don't know, it was about 5 years ago, I was at the end of Harker's Island, which is called Shell Point, and I was standing there watching the water hit the shore, and all of a sudden, I was getting ready to leave to come back to Virginia, and homesickness overtook me, that I was leaving Harker's Island again, you know. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, it's good to be home. Well, 7 hours later, I landed at 3257 Baybrook Drive in Harrisonburg. I got out of my car, I stood in the yard, looked up at the stars, and I said to the Lord, Lord, it's good to be home. And then I heard Him laugh. And I had not realized what I had done. And it was like He just spoke to me, I guess home is wherever I'm at for you, right? And it is. But geographically, this is my home. And I believe the Lord called me back to my Galilee and to bring me back home, because if you don't remember where you came from, you won't know where you're going, and you won't know who you are once you get there. And so I truly believe in coming home in more ways than one. It's a place where you're humbled and you just remember what God has done, is doing, and plans to do with your life. So the Galilee, he's basically saying, you boys go home and you're going to see me there. So that's the Galilee. Now, there's more. I will take a sidebar occasionally while I'm talking. Some people call it ADD. But I talked about Shell Point. This is the year. This is the five-year anniversary. Now, tomorrow afternoon, Brother Aaron Galvin, some of you are welcome to a round table with him. Talk about some things that are working, church planters, you know, whoever's interested, multiplying leader, that kind of thing. But he's telling me it's going to be more of a conversation. So we'll all go to lunch and all that stuff, and then he'll tell you where to meet him. Won't necessarily be here. So we got that going. That's on the schedule. But also, Friday afternoon for others, it's your time to enjoy the area, to get out and to just read. And maybe you've had all the Bible you can take for a while. You need something else. So being it's the fifth year, tomorrow at 2:15, if you meet me at the end of Harker's Island at Shell Point with $16, we're going to take the passenger ferry to Cape Lookout Lighthouse. But some of you have been asking, when am I going to get to see that lighthouse? Well, this could be one opportunity when you get to see it. It's up to you. Now, $16, if money's the issue, there's no issue. All you have to do is suck up to me and say, Gary, I'm on your tab. That'll just be between me, you, and the Lord. But I like for anybody who wants to go, and we'll only spend a couple hours there. It's about a 20-minute boat ride over. We get out, we go to the lighthouse. You'll see the ponies on the shore and all that, and we'll go over to the beach. And there's a boardwalk that walks over there. You don't need to wear your swimsuit. We're not going to be there that long, and some of us might have better take that. But anyway, and we'll come back over, and at 4:45 we'll catch the boat back to Shell Point, be there at 5:15, and then back here at 7, so you have time to come back and all that. So I wanted to make sure, because I don't want to forget to say that, but I didn't say it right there, since I was talking about Shell Point and home. Seemed like a good place to me. So this passage here, I want to go back to it very quickly, and I want to talk, like I said, a little bit more about Galilee. He promised, if they would go to Galilee, they would meet the Lord there. Now, if you're thinking really clearly, this was not the first time the Lord had referred to Galilee about them returning. Does anyone know where he spoke that the first time? Good. You're actually going to learn something. Oh, Prodigy Galilee's working. It was at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus said to them, after I have resurrected, I will go to Galilee ahead of you. They were so full of grief, I don't think they even heard it. Do you ever have that in your family? Sometimes my wife's carrying on the conversation, and she looks at me and says, you're not even listening, are you? Now, she always listens to me, but I need to do better there. Maybe that'll be the miracle of this weekend for me. I think that they were having those moments that night as Jesus was talking, you know. There was a lot of grief in the room. They were all wondering, did I betray Jesus, you know? But Jesus did say that night, it's recorded, I think it's Matthew 26, I believe is where you're going to find that, verses 31 and 32, somewhere around in there. He said, after I have been resurrected, I will go to Galilee ahead of you. There's some hope there. You know, if they had heard that and believed that, there would have been a lot less crazy stuff going on for them. But they missed it. Someone's going to teach on one of the miracles that I wish I had known. Two or three I really wanted. And the Lord said, you know, you're going to get something that you can't handle. You're going to have to seek me. But I hope they make the point in their miracle. But if they don't, I will when they're done. There's a point in there where God said something. Jesus, God the Son, said something that if the disciples would have heard it, it would have been a lot different deal. But anyway, here he said, after I have been resurrected, I will go to Galilee ahead of you. Now, I want to read some things written down, okay? Just I want to read to you for a moment. The Lord knew that all the disciples would desert him and flee. That was not a surprise when they ran out of Gethsemane. He had known the disciples would be knocked down by their weakness, their pride, and he knew their hopes for the kingdom of God would be torn to pieces, literally fallen apart. And that's why he told them about Galilee. He said, I will go ahead of you and be waiting for you. Go to Galilee. You will meet me there. He was letting them know. He was making a promise. You're really going to blow it here in the next few days. But just like my dad said on his deathbed, everything's going to be all right. There's a lot of hope when Jesus started talking about Galilee at the Last Supper. It wasn't embraced. It wasn't heard. But it was there. Galilee. Now, what is Galilee? It's the place where the disciples had first met Jesus. Now, I'm going to reveal something that I haven't told much about because I want to write a sermon on it. And when you share stuff in front of a bunch of preachers, they may get to the pulpit before you do. But I'm going to share it anyway. Some people laugh whenever I say I'm going to the Holy Land, and they know I'm talking about North Carolina. It's a funny thing to people. So I laugh along, but I'm really not being funny. Even though it is funny, you can laugh. I've had people text me since I've been here, how are things in the Holy Land? I said, a lot of Virginians showing up. You know, that kind of stuff. The reason I call North Carolina the Holy Land is because it's the first place I met Jesus. That's the simple piece of it. And that's what's going on here. When Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to go to where you first met me, and we're going to meet again. A lot of hope there. You know, on that first day they met him, he said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. That was when a lot of them first met him. So he says, go to Galilee after you've blown it. Wasn't just Peter that needed restoring. We have the story of his restoration. But all of them fled. Go to Galilee, you will meet me there. That's how it was. It all began in Galilee. And Jesus brought them back to the starting point. Have you heard it said, I can't begin again? That's not true. Why, sure you can begin again. That's what Galilee's all about. We're going to have a do-over, Jesus was saying. I'm going to show up where it all started, and we're going to have a restart. I don't know about you, but one thing that breaks my heart as much as anything is to watch the Olympics and watch these people who have trained for 4 years to win a medal, and they false start. I think you get two shots at it. But I've seen people in the Olympics have two false starts and lose everything that they had planned for, and no do-overs after that. But Jesus allows do-overs, and that's what Galilee's about. Maybe that's why some of you are even here, and you don't even know why. Maybe you need to begin again. Well, it happens at Galilee, and you're the project. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's good, man. Let me give you another line. I think Jesus was saying when he said, I'm going to go to Galilee ahead of you, let's give it another go. Let's give it another go. They've been through frustration, great sorrow. And they heard an invitation, let's give it another go.
Amen.
What's the name of your blog that you occasionally put something on? Second Chances.
Good to hear it. That I occasionally put
I'm encouraging you there to give me some
second chances, brother.
Second chances. Let's give it another go. Come follow me. Now, when he heard that, when they heard that from the women got the message. Because Jesus already said it to the men. They didn't hear it. You know? So now, the angels speak it first, and then Jesus meets them on the path and says, go tell the brothers to meet me in the Galilee. And you have to know that. That we, the lady said that, they said, oh yeah, didn't he say something about that in the Last Supper? We're going to get a do-over. Oh, you can believe they ran. They ran to the Galilee. That was the place where they were going to give it another go. The Galilee. I wonder if there happened to have been a do-over, I wonder if the church would have even been born. Anyway, we don't have to worry about that because there was a do-over. And so, with those words, I welcome you to Project Galilee. Some of you have been with me to the actual Galilee. Raise your hand. Now, some of you are going to go, you just don't know it. Some of you are going to have a do-over and go again. But standing on that shore, even if you're imagining it or you're remembering it, I've never shared that at the Galilee. I probably will on my next trip. If anybody's on this trip and you need a do-over, this is where the do-over started. Right here. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Hmm. And we're not going to go there. We could go a long time there at John 21. But I know what it definitely meant. I agree with the commentator who said, if it meant anything, it meant that Jesus knew that Peter had denied him three times. And Jesus was going to make sure they covered all three in the do-over. That'll preach. Because I preached it. Kim, you want to come strap on your wooden strings and just whatever the Lord is giving you. And let's just bow our hearts for a moment. Doug, it's good to have you, man. I know that Brother Porter prayed over us, but would you mind to just pray us into worship here, and we're going to have the actual launch right now.
Father, this message that we've just listened to is very powerful, and it really calls for a self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. We all need a do-over today. That's why we're here, Father. Jesus. Lord, you're so good, and you're so faithful, and you're so merciful, and your grace is abounding. So, Lord, today I just pray that you'd be with us here, that you meet us right at the point of our hearts and our contact, and, Lord, that we would just recognize and bask in your presence this weekend. Thank you, Lord, for carrying his ministry, and thank you, Lord, for all those who will share with us. And Lord, this will be a time like never before. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.